Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Thursday, July 18th, 2019. I'm Chance Miller. Today's episode of 9 to 5 Mac Daily is brought to you by Ditto. Verizon has launched its first 5G hotspot today, giving users in select U.S. cities the ability to take advantage of its next-generation cellular network. This also means that Verizon customers will be able to try out 5G with an iPhone before Apple switches to 5G modems in 2020. There have been a lot of questions about how much data 5G will use, and Verizon's new MiFi device doesn't necessarily ease those concerns. Verizon customers can add 50 gigabytes worth of 5G data for the hotspot to an existing Verizon Unlimited smartphone plan for $30 per month. That's $10 more than Verizon charges for 4G hotspot plans. From there, however, speeds will be reduced to 3 megabits per second after that 50 gigabyte data cap has been passed. And if any of the research we've seen so far is to be believed, you'll blow through that data on a relatively fast pace. So where exactly is Verizon's 5G network available? The carrier announced today that St. Paul, Minnesota joins Minneapolis, Denver, Chicago, and Providence as its 5G cities. Verizon hopes to expand its 5G network to at least 30 cities by the end of this year. The Inseego MiFi M1000 costs $650 outright, but Verizon offers a payment plan to bring it down to $27 per month. The 5G modem could be a viable option for existing Verizon customers looking to get the fastest possible mobile speeds with their iPhones, iPads, and Macs. You'll just have to be sure to watch out for that data cap. Apple is expected to make the switch to 5G on the iPhone by 2020, so for those who just can't wait, Verizon's MiFi is a good option in the interim. In other news, a Bluetooth flaw has been discovered that would allow a bad actor to track a wide range of devices, including iPhones, iPads, Macs, and Apple Watches. The vulnerability allows an attacker to passively track a device by exploiting a flaw in the way Bluetooth Low Energy technology is implemented. Essentially, researchers from Boston University discovered that it's possible to link the current random MAC address of a device to the next one, and thus identify it as the same device. It can then be tracked indefinitely, though only at the relatively short range of Bluetooth signals. It's unclear whether Apple and other affected tech companies would be able to implement a fix for this in an over-the-air update, but in the meantime, if you are ever concerned about your device being tracked, there is a simple workaround. Every so often, simply head into Settings or Control Center and turn Bluetooth off and on. This will randomize the address of your device and prevent anyone from linking the current and the next address together, and therefore being able to track you. Today's episode of 9 to 5 Mac Daily is brought to you by Ditto. We all know mirroring MacBooks and iPhones to Apple TV is easy, but do you ever wish that your Apple TVs could do more? With Ditto, you can let anyone wirelessly share their screen, Mac, Windows, Android, Chrome, and iOS to the Apple TVs in your workspace. It works with just the hardware you already have, and it's incredibly simple to use. If you're already using Apple TVs in your office, Ditto is the easiest way to give your guests and employees seamless screen mirroring access to share content to the Apple TV, no matter what device they're using. You can try Ditto for free for 30 days now at goditto.com. That's goditto.com, and my thanks to Ditto for supporting 9 to 5 Mac Daily. Netflix has reported its second quarter earnings for 2019. The company reported a global net new subscriber addition of 2.7 million, which is far below its guidance of 5 million new subscribers. This comes as Netflix faces increased competition from the likes of Apple TV+, HBO Max, and Disney+. Netflix's subscriber count in the United States fell by 126,000, which is far worse than analyst expectations of the company adding 352,000 new subscribers. This marks the first time since 2011 that Netflix has reported a drop in United States subscribers. So what exactly is behind Netflix's poor performance during Q2? The company itself is blaming two things. First, the company says that subscriber loss was higher in markets where it was forced to raise prices of its monthly plans. And secondly, it says that its original content lineup during the second quarter was slightly weaker than it had expected, and that it sees things improving during the third quarter with the launch of things like Stranger Things Season 3. Netflix CEO Reed Hastings addressed a few other things in the company's earnings release. Various reports have suggested that Netflix might adopt an advertising model in an effort to keep those monthly costs lower for subscribers. Hastings said, however, that those reports are completely false and that Netflix sees its most valuable business as being an ad-free premium content provider, much like HBO. As for the competition from Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus, Hastings says he's not worried. He explained that in the United States, Netflix still only earns around 10% of consumers' television time, and even less of their mobile screen time, which gives Netflix a lot of room to grow, even with new competition. Lastly, as for the upcoming loss of shows like Friends and The Office from Netflix, Hastings says that this will actually free up Netflix's budget for new original content. What he didn't address, however, is the fact that The Office and Friends are Netflix's two most watched pieces of content, despite its push into more original TV. Netflix has long dismissed the looming competition from companies like Disney and Apple, but this quarter's loss in subscribers proves that there are a lot of questions about how Netflix will be able to compete as the streaming media space grows more crowded. Last but not least, Apple today has released the third public beta of iOS 13. This update comes following the release of the fourth developer beta yesterday, and Apple today is also releasing the third public betas of macOS Catalina and tvOS 13. iOS 13 developer beta 4 released yesterday included a handful of changes, such as interface tweaks to photos and the share sheet, and it also closed a security hole that allowed anyone to access passwords stored in the Settings app without Face ID or Touch ID authentication. If you're running the public beta of iOS 13, you'll be able to update via the Settings app on your iPhone. The update is rolling out now and should be available to most users soon, but if you're not running the public beta just yet, we'll drop a link to our full how-to guide right in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9 to 5 Mac Daily. My thanks to Ditto for sponsoring today's episode. As always, be sure to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, read all of these stories on 9to5mac.com, and come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5Mac Daily.